Thank you, Wilson. Thank you, family. Hello to our family at home and folks a lot farther away than just down the street who are joining us online. Particularly, you don't mind me having my favorites, do you? Hi, Carol. My sweet wife is at home feeling lousy. She's been dealing with a cold congestion this week, and it got a little worse over the weekend, so she went to the clinic this morning, and she's home resting. So it's a joy to be together, and it's amazing that we can be connected so far away. I'm still stunned. I'm stunned by voices going through a wire. I started in the Army running wire through the woods, and you'd connect two crank phones to them, and it's just astounding that you get a voice that goes through that wire. But now we got everything going through the air, and pretty amazing. But God established that long before we did, that we have a Heavenly Father who listens to every prayer we bring in Christ. What a stunning gift. What a stunning gift. We are, Carol's father, Brady, and Carol and I are taking off tomorrow. We're going to go down to Texas, and we're going to go to Sunset this next weekend and be there for Adam and several others' graduation there in Lubbock. So we won't be here next the end of this week and next weekend. We'll miss you, but Lord willing, we'll be home soon, and we love you. So I was asked to do this subject. I don't get very many requests to do subjects, but this one was somebody asked me, and as they were asking, I realized I don't think I've ever isolated this subject in the Bible, even though it's prominent. And I'm sure that's part of my own personality, which is one of the dangers of not preaching the way Mike and Lauren do when they take a book of the Bible and they start and just go through the whole thing in their sermons. You don't miss anything. I'm more of a subject approach or a goal approach to things. And anyway, let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, you are more than awesome, more than wonderful, more than fantastic. You are beyond awesome. You are infinitely amazing. Your grandeur, your greatness, your goodness, your holiness, your love are all infinite and wonderful. Your wrath is used for your holiness to make sure that evil and wrong and harm and brokenness is not tolerated. Father, you make us whole. You restore us. Father, we pray that as we dive into your word, we can have all of those things. We can be rebuked and we can be encouraged. We can be comforted and we can be loved. We can be challenged and we can grow. Help us to do that as we look at your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the subject. Rest seems so simple, right? It sounds nice. It's not complicated. It's either not working. What are you doing? I'm resting, which means I am not working. Or, and it's mixed, right? It's a state of peace. It's a state of a state without turmoil, without stress or strain, either physical, or mental, or emotional. Because there's a lot of mental work that's exhausting. You don't have to be digging ditches to become exhausted. And there's a lot of emotional work that has very little to do with rest. But the Bible doesn't go very far without introducing us to the concept of rest. This is a gift of God. This is something, rest restores your energy. Rest repairs and heals. We're beginning to understand how sleep, how many processes happen to us when we sleep and how they don't happen to us if we stay awake and don't get enough sleep. All kind of beautiful, healthy things. Toxins are cleared out faster when you're sleeping. Broken cells are cleaned up or repaired. All kinds of things happen physically to your body when you rest. You know, you lose more weight. You lose more weight when you're sleeping than when you're awake. Look it up. It doesn't sound possible. But sometimes when we ask people to rest, some of us are too eager to jump at rest. But some of us are too eager to push it away. I got too much to do. I cannot. No. Leave me alone. I got things to do. I'm busy right now. And somebody bringing us or introducing us or pulling us toward rest sometimes irritates us. Your brain filters things when you're sleeping and resting. Sometimes rest is elusive because we can't stop thinking. So, how about Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2 in the first couple of verses. And so the heavens and earth were completed, Genesis 2 verse 1, and all their heavenly lights. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day of all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work. You think God's trying to teach us something? And I generally look at this verse and say, well, that's just what he did. That's God resting. He did this perfect, amazing creation of the entire universe, you know, from the ant to the galaxies. It's astounding. We never quite understand it. But he rested, except he keeps repeating it. And if anybody doesn't, excuse me, what do I know about God? But if anybody doesn't need rest, it's an infinitely powerful definition of life and love, God. Is he resting because he's tired? No. He does not grow weary, right? Scripture teaches us that. Is he rested because he needs some kind of rejuvenation? No, there's no deterioration in God. Why is he resting? Because resting is an important part of life. And he's trying to teach us something. God used rest for himself. This is before there's any sin. This is before there's any fall. This is before the creation and humans need restoration. This is God resting because the work was done. This is God resting because it's part of a cycle we're given in life. Exodus chapter 20, you know this very well. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. And on it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. Try to enforce that one. Now, this is under the covenant given to Moses. This is in Exodus. This is a lot longer than the first week of creation. Much has gone on. But this cycle of rejuvenation, this cycle of restoration, this cycle of work and rest is not only being given to man, it's being commanded. It is a command. Now, I wrote the word us up there because there is a cycle of rest for us. There is not the Sabbath today. We don't have a Sabbath to keep today. That's part of the Mosaic Law, not part of Christ's covenant. Rest is part of Christ's covenant, but not this style. This is deliberately a rest from work. You shall not do any work. And we read back through the examples of what they did to this verse. They measured out how many paces you can walk, how far you can walk and get back home again. And that would be a Sabbath day's journey. If you walk any more than that, you violated the work. A doctor can't put a Band-Aid on somebody because that's his job, but a mother can because she's not paid for it. I mean, those kinds of nitpicky little things. Except, so I'm thinking about this lesson, and this morning, you know, the edge of the bathtub. You know, getting dirty isn't surprising, but the edge of the bathtub gets dusty. The bathtub is dusty? And so I got a cloth and I wiped along, and it cleans up great because it's all white. You just go, and the whole thing looks great behind you. And I'm holding this and I'm about to ball this up and throw it in this paper towel and throw it away. And I think, did I just work? If we were under Sabbath, and I know there's been centuries of people assuming there was a Christian Sabbath law, therefore you're not allowed to work on Sunday. That's not in Scripture. But you're holding this thing and say, did I just violate what God asked his people to do? Didn't feel like work. But it wasn't part of my daily necessities. So we should be more considerate of the thousands of years that people had to live under these laws, and they don't have the details of what to do with them. Can you tie your sandals on the Sabbath? Some people said yes, and some people said no. You can't tie your sandals. God commanded rest. And it's part of the interesting study of what it means that he insists that his people pay attention to what work is and when work is and what rest is and when rest is. Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourselves have not let me know whom you will send with me. An interesting complaint from Moses, but nevertheless, Moses is clear about this. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now then, if I have found favor in your sight in any way, please let me know your ways so that I may know you in order that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he, God, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I'm thinking about James and Andrea Smith and the children this morning. They are right now, they have successfully purchased a vehicle in Germany. That was a very awkward couple of weeks for them in Germany, trying to get through all the different layers of paperwork and bureaucracy and all that to finally find a vehicle that they could and should buy. Well, they're now just loading that vehicle onto a ferry to cross the Adriatic Sea to go back to Albania. So I'm thinking about them, and I'm thinking about if you're ever someplace where you really need someone to go with you, it's a foreign country. You don't know the directions, you don't know the language, you don't know the customs, you don't know the laws, and you need someone to go with you. Moses saying, who is going to help me lead these people? Who is going to go with me? And if you get a competent intelligent, caring person to go with you when you're somewhere far from home and you don't know what you ought to be doing today. There's rest in that. You've been in foreign countries. You understand some of the anguish where somebody begins to talk to you and you go, come here. Okay, could you translate this for me? I don't understand. You want that person with you. Who is going to be with me during these awkward and difficult times? But notice it's not rest from work. We have gone past rest from work. This is a different layer of rest. This is a different application of rest. This is rest that is now mingling with peace. If you're going through a foreign place, if you're going through a difficult situation and you don't know what's going on, you tend not to be at peace. And you want something to be stable around you, and you want something to be calm, and you want something to be reassuring. So God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, Exodus 33:15, it's an interesting stand Moses takes. It is a powerful, good, and a brave stand. I'm not sure I would ever be able to tell God this. It sounds like too much. If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight and your people if it is not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? If you don't go with us, God, I don't want to go. And you think, yeah, that's exactly right. But would you have said that to God? Tell God what your parameters are on agreeing to him? It was right. It was courageous. And what Wilson read for us, we've got some, like many psalms, we've got distress in this psalm. We've got troubles. We've got pains. We've got prayers that are being sent up to God in passionate ways because David is not at peace. How long will you love what is worthless and strive for a lie? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly person for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Men are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light to your face upon us, Lord. You have put joy in my heart, more than when grain and new wine are abundant. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, have me dwell in safety. God's presence brings rest. We're going to go through a few of the steps. We're going to go through a little bit of a recipe for this kind of peace and rest. How many times have you asked this question? So how'd you sleep last night? And the answer came back, I couldn't go to sleep. My mind was just so busy. It was like I was just thinking. I laid for hours before I could go to sleep. My mind was just, I couldn't get my mind to settle down. I was just thinking about so many different things. I couldn't get any rest. We've changed from rest from work to emotional, mental rest. And I can lay down in safety. And of course, the most famous psalm for this kind of a call is the 23rd Psalm, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. When's the last time you lay down in green grass and stayed there? That's got to be a pretty, pretty nice, calm place. City parks try to do that, nice even grass. Sometimes we can do that with our own lawns, as long as there's no ants on it. Thanks for the description. I kept thinking about apples, Alex, and your apple tree being eaten up by ants. But that's a pretty special place where you can lay down on the grass and rest and be refreshed. Now, I know the image is of shepherd and sheep, but David isn't simply being metaphorical here. He's appreciating what it means to be able to lay in the grass. He guides me along paths of righteousness, and of course, we really enjoy this phrase, for his name's sake. Those peaceful pastures, that sweet water that's so gently dribbling by in a moving brook, that right path is all given to you that he can be glorified. Do you benefit from it? Do we benefit? Obviously we do. We benefit magnificently from it. But the point is, the greater point is, he does it for his name's sake. He does it so that he will be seen to be the God of all goodness, that he'll be the God of all grace, that he'll be the God of all righteousness, that he'll be the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our God, it's amazing, our God is the God of all grace. He's the God that defines love, and he's the God of all comfort. And in that presence, you really can have rest. It's more than just a place of rest. It becomes a life of rest. It goes beyond that. Psalm 55 and 62, but talk about terror. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. God is our shelter. When horrors and terrors and fear and physical trembling are about to be our possessions, we have a permanent place of protection. We have a permanent place where peace and rest . Who can rest in their jail cell when they expect the door to be kicked open and you drag down the hallway to be beaten again? Only the rest of exhaustion, and that's no hardly any rest at all. No, God has peaceful place. God has real rest. Even in the worst of troubles, and we'll get into this in a moment, even in the worst of troubles, real rest, abiding, absolute peace is found with our Heavenly Father. Jeremiah 6:16, a well-known verse. This is what the Lord said, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, amazing, amazing next verse. What was the response? God's telling the people through Jeremiah what they said. And you said, we won't do it. Well, literally what it says, we will not walk in it. God says, here's the way to do this. Here's how you find real rest. Here's the pathway. And of course, if you go back to what you read in Exodus 20, this rest is sounding different all the time, even more different from what Exodus 20 was talking about. I could do that, maybe. 1 day of work, 2 days of work, 3 days of work, 4 days, I'm getting tired, five days of work, 6 days of work, we get the rest. Work days and rest day. But now we're talking about a rest. I've got rest for you. I've got real rest for you. But it's going to take you to sit up and look around and ask. Ask for the old paths. What are the ancient ways? We are so twisted in our modern world by looking for new things, new ideas, new concept, the latest gadgets, the latest investments, the nicest places, the slickest what cars or whatever. And that's not exactly what this is talking about, but we roll it all in together with new things, therefore new ideas. And he said, no, all people are equally valuable, but not all ideas are equally valuable. There's lots of stupid ideas. Ask for the old paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. Walk there. And that's a pathway of rest. Asking, of course, it brings us to prayer and focus. And there we find peace. Of course, this brings us to Jesus' words, right? And you will find rest for your souls? That sound familiar? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am, this is our Lord speaking. This is the center of strength in our lives. This is our connection to the power of God in our lives. For I am gentle, says Jesus. I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So that call to Jeremiah is echoed by Christ, but with a brand new covenant, with a covenant in which we find complete rest, eternal rest, present and future rest. You can have this rest now. It isn't a question mark. It isn't a wonder about. It's a promise. It's a promise. You can find rest for your souls. It's Jesus' solid promise. I have real rest for you. You come to me. You take up my burdens. Drop yours. Get rid of your burdens. You got the wrong burdens, and you're carrying them the wrong way. What? You're carrying them the wrong way. But how else do I carry these? This is what I created in my life. You carry them, Robert, by giving them to me, and I'll give you what you should be carrying. So we transfer our burdens to God and Christ. We give him our concerns. We give him our weariness. We give him our struggles. And he gives us his message. He gives us his love. He gives us relationships to have. He gives us a pathway illuminated by him and filled with peace. He gives us real rest. Rest for your souls. And now we have transferred even beyond that. I had a lot more slides on here, and I got rid of them this morning. but I can't even mention the place I got rid of them from. So this is going to have to be another lesson. But we're going to go through Philippians 4 to bring peace into this, but we don't have time for that. That's a recipe of peace. And at the end of that recipe, the conclusion is, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the connection that Christ gives us. That light and easy burden, that illuminated, gentle pathway that has real rest, rest for our souls, that's given to us by Christ. But we will wrap up with this verse. We will wrap up with this verse. In Hebrews chapter 4, we can read, I guess starting in verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. It's amazing that there remains, Hebrews chapter 4 teaches us that there remains a rest. There still is a rest out in front of us. You see, we've gone through the physical rest, the rest from work, where we literally stop working as God's people under the covenant of Moses. We went from that to a mental rest, where we were free from the dangers around us, and we could plan and think ahead for ourselves and our families. And woven into that was the emotional, the rest of the heart. But God says, I've got more rest for you. I've got rest for your souls. So all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, when God says in three times in one verse that he did this, he gave himself rest and wanted us to see him taking rest, wanted us to imagine his engagement with the word rest, and we logically go, he did that so that we would realize that there is rest, real rest. There's rest today in Christ, as you can be at peace with God himself and peace with the people around you, as far as it depends on you. But more importantly, there's eternal peace, and you don't have anything to worry about. The first line of Philippians chapter 4, the recipe for peace, is don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. So when we can give God all of our thoughts, take your thoughts captive and bring them into obedience for Christ, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We can take our thoughts captive. We really can go to sleep at night, giving our anxiety to the Lord, giving our burdens to the Lord, and picking up his lighter burden and walking in rest. We can have lives of rest and souls that are brought into rest forever and ever and ever. There's more to be learned here, but I thank you for spending this time with me on the subject. If there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, if you haven't begun to make connection with that sweet, permanent rest that God gives us, we're ready to baptize you today. If you're ready for that, we can sit down and talk with you. We can have a study with you. We can pray with you. If you have any other need, please let us know while we stand and sing.